pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
You are listening to the world's greatest relationship podcast with Tiffany.
Me.
And Jeff. Hello.
Hi.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you too.
I mean, I suppose we live together and that was a dumbass way to do it, but we're trying to sort of reboot how the beginning of the show goes.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
And I keep getting lost and confused because I just want to say good morning.
Yeah.
Because it's morning.
It is morning. We usually record in the morning, which I love.
Yeah. The problem with that is that people listen all the time.
Right.
Throughout the day. So good day.
Good day.
How you doing?
Happy Pride. It's Pride Month, so.
It is Pride Month. I am especially fond of Pride Month. The direction I'm about to go feels pretty fucking stupid. But I did a graphic for the Left Show several years ago with some little rainbow ribbons and everything and all of that. And I think, personally, it turned out well.
It did.
So I used that throughout June on our Facebook page, at the Left Show. And I'm always excited to do it on the day before June on May 31st.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, I'm going to change the graphic. I'm going to go to rainbows.
I know. I mean, I wish that we were accepting like during Pride Month. I just feel like everyone is so accepting of each other and the Pride Parade and Festival. And it's just such a different feeling. And I wish we had that all year round because it shouldn't just be a month.
No. But I don't think you can sustain that many parades.
Oh, no, not walking in them.
That's
anyway.
A lot of work.
I'm so done with parades. I'll watch them. I'll go to the Pride Parade for sure. That's my favorite parade. Other parades, whatever.
We were in it once.
We were.
We were up until that point, and I don't know if it's been broken since. We were told that we were the biggest, most populous entry to ever walk. And I remember we had a lot of oldsters with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pulling the float and with the
luckily,
candidates
you
on
were
the back.
Pulling the float.
Yeah, I was driving the truck. And then, you know, we had a group of walkers and some were slow and some were fast.
Yeah.
And so we spread out.
Oh, that's so obnoxious. The Mormons building bridges are the same. They have a lot of people and they take up a lot of space because there's so many and they walk slow, some walk fast.
Yep.
It's a long entry. But that year I had over 100 volunteers. We had to sign disclosures at the last minute. And so it was chaotic and somebody overslept and would not wake up.
I had not slept in about 3 days.
I know. Neither
had you. And I credit where credit is due. You muscled through and finally woke my ass up. I don't know why I didn't stay at the office and sleep on the couch.
Yeah,
that's the smart thing to do. Instead, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to run home. I'm going to sleep for 2 hours and then I will wake up and come and do all of my duties. And instead, I overslept like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. And we drove the truck with the trailer and all those damn balloons all the way downtown to
the staging area.
Yeah, the staging area.
Yep.
Oh, stressful, but it was a good day. It's long though. I mean, if you're at the Pride Festival tabling, it's a long time. It's hot.
That's very hot.
3 days. I remember I was at that table all day, every day, and there was one of the days towards the end, I was really tired. I was exhausted. It was hot. nobody was helping me, and you came and brought waters.
Yeah.
And I crossed the street to pick up the waters, and I think I just started crying, or I cried on the way back carrying the waters because I was just like, make this stop.
I think it was when you were walking back. I don't think you cried in front of me.
Oh.
I would remember that. That's traumatic for me.
Yeah.
It makes me, it would have made me feel like a very bad person. Because I was headed back to the air-conditioned office.
Well, it was just that, like, the other team members were not participating. They were, like, leaving garbage around our booth area and, like, talking. It drives me crazy. Anyway, so because of pride, this is what I was thinking.
We're going to do a round of a new segment called Mock the Oldster.
No. Actually, yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Put a pin in that.
I'm putting a pin in it.
Okay. I have some lingo.
Okay.
That I'm going to see if you know what it means, okay?
Now, it's important to remember before we do this that I'm old. And a lot of this lingo is new. You know? And in my heteronormative existence, you know, I get new information. I process that information. I usually, depending on the information itself, tend to change my perspective, you know.
That's good.
Well, it's that often told story of hearing Laverne Cox talk at Allies, and how I went from being casually accepting to fiercely protective, you know, inside of about 90 seconds of her talking.
Yeah, you can be a passive ally. Or you can be an active ally. There's a big difference.
Yes. I would like to think I'm more active than I was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to rallies very often for the same reason I don't go to concerts very often. And that's usually because something there will trigger a migraine and I get to spend the day in pain and nauseous.
Yeah.
You know, so I tend to avoid it. Like I have friends in bands that are exceptionally talented and have shows all the time. And I never go because I know full fucking well how loud they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it'll hurt. So, okay. I am ready.
Okay.
I am ready for the test. Okay. I just wanted a little disclaimer that I will learn some new things right now.
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be great. Okay. The first one is the dolls, or the dolls or dolling. The dolls.
The dolls are trans women.
Yeah, so this is a deep ballroom trans culture term. It's ultimate affection for trans women or drag queens looking gorgeous and commanding the room.
Okay, I got that one.
Dolls, good job.
Okay.
Okay, next one. Mother. She is mother.
Is that a protective lesbian?
You know what? I wish she would watch Pose. It was so good. So it's a pop culture title of ultimate respect for an iconic woman dominating and serving looks. So in Pose, no, I'm not even going to go there because I don't know enough about it.
Okay.
Okay. Watch Pose. It's really good. You know this one. U-hauling.
U-hauling is when it usually happens within the first 15 minutes of two lesbians meeting at Home Depot. Hi, I'm Jane. Hi, I'm Mary. Would you like to move in?
There's a truck rental place right here.
Yeah. I'm not wrong, am I?
You're not wrong. Okay. Of course. It's a famous lesbian community joke about couples moving in together incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Like bringing a U-Haul truck to the second date. But it is true, and that is so funny to me. I have a friend. Seriously. Ended up in a truck moving shit on a date, on a like a beginning date. And I'm like, how are you in a U-Haul right now? That's so cliche.
Yeah, that is very cliche.
Okay, next is boots. I'm tired boots.
My feet hurt?
It just means very or highly.
Oh, just okay. So it's a descriptive.
I'm tired boots.
Okay. Yeah, I don't get that one.
No, I'm tired, very. I'm tired, boots. Huh, okay. 8 and left no crumbs.
Okay. So, someone did a really good job at cunnilingus. Is that, am I right?
There better not be crumbs. What the fuck?
I just, that's a, okay, but am I right?
Well, kind of, yes. Actually, it's doing such a perfectly good job and doing it so incredibly well that there's absolutely nothing left for anyone else to improve on.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go with I was right.
Yeah, you ate and left no crumbs.
I'd be delighted.
Congrats. Okay, clocked or getting clocked.
I guess a guess on that one is being paid attention to.
Noticing something or uncovering a hidden truth, often spotting a flaw or figuring out someone's special secret identity.
Oh.
You've been clocked.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Family. Are they family?
In the Alphabet Mafia, part of the community.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a subtle code word used in the community to ask if someone else is also queer in public spaces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that you can ask whether or not they'd like to U-Haul.
I know. I have some credit. Okay. Let's see. What did we just do? Family.
Family.
You're serving looks.
You're awesome.
Yep. Presenting yourself flawlessly, delivering an incredible outfit, or radiating peak confidence.
Yeah, I was guessing.
That was good.
I mean, it's a good guess, but it was not quite right.
It was almost there.
That's fair.
Last one.
Okay.
Delulu.
Delulu. Oh, I just heard this one. I've forgotten what it means. You're wearing Lululemon pants.
Oh, that's actually that's not a bad guess. No, it means delusional.
Oh, I see that.
Delulu.
Delulu. Okay. Like I would be if I thought I could carry off Lululemon pants. That would be Delulu.
Your legs would look great in those pants. You know it too. You know it.
Shush.
Okay, there actually is two more.
Don't compliment me. It makes me blush.
Yassified.
Yassified. When you change somebody's mind from negative to positive.
Oh, it's when you made, it's something that's made more glamorous. You've been yassified.
Do you say that different? Is that a yass? Like a yass queen? So yassified?
Yes. Y-A-S-S.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. This is actually the last one. Zesty.
I can't answer that with the words that are in my head right now.
Oh, no.
Because it would be a cunnilingual reference, but I don't think that's what it is.
No.
Okay.
This one is not an eight. Because
you'd finish up and go, zesty.
Oh, God.
Zesty.
Unless you're wiping crumbs off your face. Okay. No, zesty means it's playfully implying that someone seems queer.
Oh.
She's okay. A little zesty. They're a little zesty.
Hey, did you see that lady in the U-Haul?
She's a little zesty.
Zesty.
My haircut makes me look a little zesty, says somebody in the room.
Me?
Yes.
What?
Actually, I got my hair cut again after a long time, and I just needed trimmed in the back and stuff. And my mom's getting married, which is another thing I want to talk about later.
Yeah.
And so I said, is there any way like I can do something fun, a different style with my hair, like maybe curl part of it or something? So she says, okay, yeah, let's try that. She curls it. And I swear to God, I looked like an old lady. And I looked in the mirror and I said, make me a lesbian again. Like, I just cannot. I'd rather have a lesbian haircut and work at Home Depot than I would looking like I was that old with like those weird curls on my head.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, when you walked out, you looked good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what happened in the meantime because I was hiding in the car.
Yeah.
Because lady salons frightened me.
No, it was fun. I, what are they called? Beautician? My stylist.
Sure.
Yeah, she's really fun. And it's nice to have more people, getting to know more people down here. I call her my bestie.
Oh.
We've met twice, but
no, it is. You are branching out and trying to make friends, and I am not on purpose.
Right. Well, it's hard.
I just camp out and work and look for work.
It's hard to make friends when you're an adult. Like, where do you meet them? And I met a new friend, and this is the craziest story. We were looking for a place to host a birthday party, like outside on Memorial, that Sunday of Memorial weekend, mm-hmm. which is nuts. Everything is reserved and it's going to be packed. And so I'm looking for a park that has a first come, first serve picnic table, something. And so I put it in a community chat and we found a place. We ended up in a great park and it was awesome. But somebody reached out to me and was like, hey, you don't look like a creep. And I'm not a creep, but I have this beautiful backyard and it has a fire pit. And we're going to be gone this weekend. If you want to come and host your family in our backyard. And we have a ping pong table. I mean, just the sweetest, kindest offer. And so, yeah, we've been talking and now we're besties too.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I really do.
Very kind people.
Yeah, I'm kind of locked in a solitary
mm-hmm.
As far as any moment I have that's not with you.
Yeah.
Is in the office trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not been as expansive as you are, and watching you do it, I am impressed because I know how hard it is to make adult friends.
Yeah.
My most recent adult really good friend
uh-huh.
is 26. Yeah. You know,
he's so great.
And it is. I hope you guys got a chance to listen to a new episode of Gen Zex yesterday here at theleftshow.com. If you didn't, go listen. It was a lot of fun.
You guys have a lot of fun.
It's goofy.
You guys have so much more fun than The Left Show.
Well, The Left Show is about politics, and politics right now is
sucks.
Dark and terrifying.
Yeah.
You know?
It's important stuff. We need to talk about it, and I'm glad. It's yeah. just always hard for me to do some days.
It's a news show, and we had a lot more fun when everybody got drunk, but it was chaos,
yeah.
and it was hard to listen to, and we went from huge numbers to low numbers before I pulled my head out of my ass and forced it down to an hour,
mm-hmm.
because it was running 2-3 hours
That's
sometimes.
That's insane.
It was heady and frantic in the early days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live and learn.
Yeah. So, I got a thing.
Okay.
But you also have a thing.
I do?
You wanted to talk about your mom.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so excited. Like, you always say, well, when we're trying to start this new, a new beginning, and because we would always say, good morning, how are you? And
yeah.
It's always a hard answer. Anyway, where's I going with this?
With your mom.
Yeah, so anyway, I do have exciting news, because my mom is getting married. And on Saturday, and we've just been getting ready for that. And I'm just so excited, for her and her wife, and, that our families get to come together and celebrate them. And it's been a long journey for them.
Yeah.
And I'm just so, so incredibly happy. And I love that they're getting married in June.
No, I do too. It's adorable. They are a very entertaining couple.
My mom is so awesome, and they are. They like banter. Their banter fighting is just absurd.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
It makes me smile a little uncomfortably, but I smile nonetheless even though they seem to be mad at each other, they're both very funny.
They are so funny.
Yeah.
They are always an adventure. With my mom. I just love her.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Saturday. I'm super excited. I have a dress. It has no pockets. We talked about that on The Left Show.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
I don't know how to make amends for it because I'm not in fashion.
I know. It's all right. It's just the thing that we get used to. More designers are putting pockets in dresses and clothes now.
Pockets are awesome.
Shout out to Stella McCartney. She was a big pusher in that. I don't know how you say that, but I just read about it.
Any relation to Paul?
Yeah, it's his daughter.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Way to go, Stella.
They look like each other. She looks like her dad, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stella.
No, she's pretty.
Oh, way to go, Stella.
Anyway, what do you have?
Well, I'm sitting here trying to remember some of the slang you just tested me on.
Oh my God, I can't.
Yassified. Yassified. Did I get that right?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to make fun of something I came across on the internet.
Oh, good.
It's called irritable male syndrome.
And we get to make fun of it?
I'm going to make fun of it a little bit, yes.
Good.
But I'm also going to take it a little bit seriously, because while it is my humble and uneducated opinion that this is not a real doctor diagnosis, I have suffered through this myself from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Mood swings in men are a primary symptom of what is being called andropause.
Hmm.
Now, I don't care for that, but irritability as a result of a hormonal imbalance is a reality, especially for men between the ages of 40 and 60, where
yes.
I am right now.
Yeah.
Irritable man syndrome, or irritable male syndrome, is the term used to describe the mood swings in men. Irritability in men is often a result of high stress cortisol levels and low testosterone levels. I have both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Some men respond by acting out, while others hold their feelings in and become depressed.
Hmm.
Behavioral characteristics of men with irritable men syndrome include anger, impatience, sarcasm. Oops.
Really? That's interesting.
Anxiousness, being tense, being hostile, argumentative, unloving, frustrated, withdrawn, demanding, defensive, sad, and dissatisfied. Now, in that list, I have felt all of those things over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
So while irritable male syndrome is often caused by high stress or low testosterone, high estrogen levels can also cause irritability in men. There's a joke there. I'm going to just walk the fuck away from. The main source of this imbalance is the declining level of testosterone associated with andropause and aging. Other factors can contribute to the andropause-related mood swings in men, including weight gain. I got some of that, too. This creates fat cells, which produce estrogen from testosterone. The higher the estrogen levels, the lower the testosterone levels, the greater the likelihood of irritability in men. Furthermore, high levels of the stress hormone cortisol diminishes testosterone levels, causing the same increased likelihood of mood swings in men. Certain medications can also cause hormonal imbalances. So men experiencing irritable man syndrome are often in denial and find fault everywhere except themselves. That tracks.
Yes.
Yeah, that tracks. As a man, it's difficult to recognize and admit that there's something wrong with you, that something's changed.
Or you need help.
That's not in here, so we're not going to talk about that. Hormonal problems are often viewed as an issue for only women. Not true. The truth is that you are not crazy because of this. You probably are.
You probably are.
Something's wrong, and something can be done to fix it. Male hormone testing is the first step to determine your hormone levels. Bioidentical hormone therapy integrated with a customized nutrition plan and other lifestyle changes have been the solution for many men. Feeling better is within your grasp.
Have you tried drinking some apple cider vinegar every morning?
Ugh. Yeah. Years ago.
Me too.
Hate it.
My mom was like, "If this is going to cure your kidney stones, you have to drink a cup a day." And I went through so much apple cider vinegar, like a whole thing. And I'm like, no, it's bullshit. It isn't. Lemon water? No. Go fuck yourself. Don't tell me how to get rid of kidney stones after 20 years. 23 years it's been.
Yeah. I've only had one kidney stone.
How was that?
I did not care for it. I would be happy to not go through that again.
I know. When I was just in the hospital, they said I had more. I always have stones, but they said I had some big ones in there. So that'll be fun.
It doesn't surprise me. Luckily, we've been so busy with your seizures, you haven't had a kidney stone issue for a while.
No, my kidneys have been really. I've passed a little, a couple, yeah. But no, they've been really behaving themselves.
Well, we haven't hospitalized you for it.
I have been drinking lemon water, so that's probably why. Just kidding.
I know. Like, wait, when the fuck did that happen? Were you at a restaurant once?
No.
No, I don't know. It's not as serious as, you know, menopause, perimenopause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is some big significant changes. But men tend to not only think, but get treated like you're not allowed to be different from your day to day. You know, there is a lot of pressure put on guys to maintain stability, especially emotionally. And I've lived through it, and I know friends of mine have lived through it, to where when you are feeling down and it does come up, you are mocked to the floor. You get treated like a subspecies. I had an ex when I was going through a depressive bout that seriously thought it was the funniest fucking thing she had ever heard, and she mocked me mercilessly about it, you know, for years. It's just like, you know what? It's one of the reasons why I'm therapy avoidant. Is those voices, they live in your head forever. Now, as a guy who knows he needs therapy that can't afford therapy, you know, I realize I have some issues to work through. And maybe there is a way to make those voices quiet.
Do your voices, I'm just interested.
No, yeah.
Do your voices, when you hear those voices in your head, do they say you, or do they say I?
They say you.
You. So it's, yeah. Gotcha.
It's like a separate entity. Mm-hmm. My imposter syndrome problem is also a you. You're garbage. You suck. Why do you even think you can do this? You should be, you know, doing something else. Why aren't you digging ditches, kind of thing?
Yeah.
And not that there's anything wrong with digging ditches. That is hard fucking work. I just happen to be physically broken in several areas. I went over to mom's to do some yard work the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was raking and shoveling, and it was excruciatingly painful.
You were in bad shape when you came back. Yeah.
Yep. But I did remember, thanks to mom, I did remember to put on some sunblock and did not have a sunburn keeping me from sleeping that night, which was new and different for me.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at it.
That's good.
All right. Well, why don't we take a break and then we'll come back. I got a couple of letters.
Okay.
We can go through, give some advice to people.
Yeah, let's do that.
Outstanding. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. So you're about to get a taste of your own medicine.
Oh, great.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, in a couple of different ways. The first one is, I'm about to make you a widow.
What?
Yeah, the same way you've made me a widower with your WNBA.
You know, I don't feel like, I feel like I've been pretty chill with the basketball.
Yeah, but you are in it. And I will be watching something I think we're watching together, and I'll look over at you, and you're going through your various fantasy teams, you know, and moving players around and doing shit like that. And then you do this thing that is so sus, which there's a young person word I know, where I'll look over at you and you'll catch me looking at you and you'll turn your phone away. And I'm just going to go ahead and assume that it's because of basketball. It might not be, but that's my assumption. That makes me feel safer.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I will. I'll look over at you and you'll be like, where?
I didn't know that.
What's up? What are you doing? It's like, are you with me in this movie or are you doing something else? And you'll be like, well, I'm talking to my mom.
I'm usually talking to my mom.
Why would you hide a conversation with your mom?
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know why.
That's why I'm saying there's something else going on. And I believe that it is fantasy basketball.
I love it so much.
I know you do. So the World Cup starts today as this show drops.
That's exciting.
104 games in just a few weeks.
Wow.
And I... I am here for it. And the worst part, well, it's an interesting subnote for it is... With the World Cup being this week, or starting this week, I am getting more and more excited for the Women's World Cup next year.
Because that's so good.
Look, I want the U.S. men's team to do incredibly well. I really, really do. I hope that they do it. I hope that Christian Pulisic, you know, can just find his talent. Because he's had kind of a hard run here the last few months, and he's one of the most talented football players in the entire world, and I really, really like him, and I like the team. I've seen a lot of interviews and stuff because I'm doing prep to watch the World Cup. It's so weird, and so I really, really do, but I also want Scotland to do well because this is the first time back in the World Cup for them in a long time, and I want Brazil to do well because we watched a movie about Pele, you know, and I want some of these smaller countries that are here for the first time to do well, you know, and not everybody can, and soccer's weird in that the best teams in the world can just have a shit day and get beat, and you don't see it coming.
Nope.
Soccer's hard to bet on.
Yeah, basketball, my thing is the same way. I have players. I'm like, who do I put in? I can only put in one guard. Who's going to have the better night? It's, you never know.
You just don't. You don't know. So, I mean, that's coming up.
That's cool.
I'm going to do my best not to drag this new obsession into the shows with me.
You've kind of done that.
It is. Yeah, because it's me talking and it's something I'm interested in. So that's
I love it.
How it comes out.
I love that you went from sports ball to football.
You know what, though? Every time the women's national team did well, I really enjoyed it. The last two Women's World Cups, I watched every game that the United States played, you know, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand it, but I'm just like, you know, these women are at the top of the talent ladder.
Yeah.
You know, they're incredibly, incredibly talented athletes. And much like the Olympics, it's fun to watch.
It is.
It is, you know, especially when they do well and the U.S. women do well and the U.S. men don't often do as well. Part of that is soccer culture in the United States. And that frustrates me. Because it is a huge physical game, and it keeps getting mocked by American football meatheads. You know, they're just like, what's up your sissy sport? And it's like, shut up. These guys are badass.
Yeah. Yeah. They make it look easy.
Sometimes. And sometimes they do the flop. And I get it. But then on the other side, if you get kicked in the shin with cleats, I might gasp. I know I'd fall down. You know, but it's the guys that just scream and pound on the It's like, come on, man. You're
waiting for a car to suddenly appear if you
poke an eye out. Like, did I get my car? No? Okay, I better get up.
Same thing in basketball. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question is the women's like the rules or the timing different at all? Mm-mm. This is exactly the same as the men's.
Yeah.
Okay.
There may be something, you know, subtle that I don't know yet about the women's game that might be different, but no, they're playing on the same size fields, even though all the fields are fucking different sized.
Yeah, that's so weird to me.
Yeah, what was it Ted Lasso said? This sport has the loosiest, goosiest rules. But yeah, no, it's 2 45-minute halves. It's stoppage time, you know, mm-hmm. and it's run, run, run. Run, 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 kick. Run, 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 tackle.
I used to think soccer was so boring to watch, but watching it with you now, I enjoy it. Not all the time.
No, because you've got your basketball fantasy to play.
I can't wait for you to do fantasy football, soccer. I don't know what to call it. I feel like football is the proper term, but yeah. Nobody understands that.
Yeah, because there's very little feet use with the ball in American football. No. I don't know why they call it football. It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
Gets thrown, it gets handed, it gets run, you know, but if somebody's kicking it, chances are you fucked up. And so they've named the entire sport after the uh-oh, we better kick for three, or uh-oh, we better punt it down to the other side because we didn't get as far as we wanted. So they've named the entire sport after not doing your job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a couple of letters.
Okay.
I got a couple of letters. I, male 21, am bothered that my girlfriend, female 21, calls a celebrity her boyfriend.
Oh, blah.
This one may have been picked with you in mind. We've been in a serious relationship together for 1 year, and sometimes my girlfriend will repost on Instagram and TikTok some photo video of this K-pop member, I'm not sure which one, and make some caption of, my boyfriend, by the way, and my real boyfriend. She had a history of sometimes overly praising, worshiping some of the band members of music that we listen and watch. I told her that when she does it so much, it's gotten to the point that I start questioning my worth with her, like hyping up the celebrity and sometimes saying remarks like, I'm not the one in the room. I know that sometimes being attracted to a celebrity is harmless, but she does this in a way that she dismisses what she would come off to me. So I'm now thinking this is some insecurity getting to me. But now I know that I'm thinking whether or not I should be worried about our relationship. You want to take a first crack at this? Because I got one locked and loaded.
Oh, I think he's insecure. I think he's being ridiculous.
I do too. Because that K-pop superstar is probably never going to meet your girlfriend. And if they do, there's a pretty good chance he's not going to be like, I must have you.
Right.
You know?
He could not do a list. What do we call it?
The hall pass.
The hall pass, yeah.
Yeah. Is he on her hall pass? But yeah, you're being a crybaby little shit.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's not that big a deal. If she's not actively insulting you while hyping up her fake boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody knows it's different.
Yeah, my stepmom, and it was kind of weird, but she loved, oh my gosh, Colin Firth. Firth?
Yeah, Firth. The British actor.
Yes, and she'd have framed pictures. They weren't huge, but they were little on her bookshelf of Colin Firth. And she'd call him, I don't know if she called him her husband or boyfriend, but same thing. It was mm-hmm. the same thing. She mm-hmm. she loved him. Everyone knew she loved him. Whatever. Whatever. Okay.
So let's dig a little deeper.
Okay.
Tell everybody how you feel about Alexa.
What do you mean?
The jealousy issues you have with me and the talking piece of equipment on the nightstand.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to bring this up.
Oh, that's why I picked this letter. It was to make fun of you a little bit.
Look, we both have friends that are men, women, whatever, but... And there's no jealousy there or insecurity. But when you talk to Alexa, like, she is, I don't know.
A person?
Yeah.
I say please and thank you.
You're so flirty with her. And I swear to God, she flirts back with you and it pisses me off. It really does.
I'm just being polite because sooner or later, AI is going to take over and I want my Alexa to be like, hey, he was a pretty cool dude. She's problematic, but he's a pretty cool dude.
I'm the same way. I always say please every time I use chat GPT. Every entry, if I like have to edit or whatever, I say please. Can you please do this? Can you please?
Yeah.
But no.
There's no call to be uncivil.
Yeah, you do this with your vehicle as well.
Oh, the Google Maps lady. She's on my shit list right now.
Yeah, no, I just meant the car itself.
I love my car.
I know.
And I want my car to know that I have good vibes for it.
Yes.
And so when it does a good job, like when we were going back, just back and forth to St. George over mm-hmm. Christmas, you know, every time, and especially when we pulled the trailer in a car that's not supposed to be pulling trailers.
Yeah.
You know, and we got home, I gave her a little pat. Said, thanks for doing a good job.
Yes. That I get. I actually get that because I loved my car.
Yeah.
So much. So I get that. But the Alexa, I'm like, and then sometimes she's like a little snotty. I feel like she's more snotty to me sometimes. And I'm like, what the fuck is your deal? You know she can sound snotty sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And sarcastic.
Yeah. What a...
I miss. So I. You can rename your Alexa. To a couple of set things. One is computer, mm-hmm. and one is Ziggy. And Ziggy is a reference to the old show Quantum Leap, and that was who they talked to back home.
What? Did you
not know that?
No, I didn't know that you had to. There was only like a couple of options to choose from.
You just thought I picked Ziggy out of nowhere?
I thought you picked Ziggy, and my mom's camp name was Ziggy. So it was like, it's a thing. And I'm like, whoa, what are thoughts? And then somebody else named their Alexa Ziggy. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. What are the odds?
Yeah, there's like three or four choices. The problem is that as a Star Trek fan, whenever someone on Star Trek wants to talk to the computer, they go, computer.
Oh my gosh, that was so annoying.
And so every time I'd watch Star Trek, fucking Alexa be over there going, bloing, ding, what's up? Ding, bloing, bloing, ding. Bloing.
Yep.
So named it Ziggy. And I'm not sure where the hell I was going with this. I've lost
sometimes she's a little, Ziggy's a little snotty.
Yeah.
Is that where you were going?
Yeah. I don't know. Fuck it. I have another letter.
Okay.
My stepmother, 50 female, had a breakdown and my dad, 53 male, wants me, 18-year-old male, to embrace her as a mother to help her heal. My stepmother has no biological children. She met my dad after my mom died when I was still very young, 6. She threw herself into being my mom because she knew she could not have children of her own. She asked me almost every day to call her mom. She started introducing herself to other people as my mom and instructed me to do the same, which I resisted. When she found a photo of my mom in my bedroom, she asked my dad to toss all the photos and reminders of my mom so she wasn't left to compete with her. My mom's parents and sister stepped in before they could be tossed to take them. It caused a lot of conflict, and my stepmother raged at them for saving them because she knew deep down they would end up with me when I got older. Mm. My stepmother really hated that I never stopped loving my mom. She was upset that I never loved her back and that I never saw her as my mom for real. I didn't always argue with her about it, but she could probably tell. I kept stuff from her because I started hating, you know, her over time and didn't want to have her in my business. She made me really uncomfortable with how obsessive she was about it. Then my stepsister OD'd, and her stepsister's kids were taken in by her and my dad, and they adopted those kids. But my stepmother and her stepsister didn't have a close relationship. And those kids never bonded with her or my dad. She got kind of messed up 3 years ago and started crying every day over none of us calling her mom. None of us liking or loving her. And because my dad had me calling him dad, but she never got to experience that. My dad and I fought a lot and we were really in a bad place for the last couple of years. But apparently every time I called him dad, it broke her heart. I moved out of their house about 7 months ago. And 2 months later, she had a breakdown. She was hospitalized for 4 months and only recently got to go home with my dad. Her stepsister's kids ended up going to bio grandparents because they didn't want to be there. The adoption's still a thing, so they're still their legal kids. I haven't seen her at all, and it pisses my dad off. He told me I need to embrace her as my mom after all this time so she can find healing and finally have that broken part of her repaired. He said I owe her that much because she truly gave her all to being my mom. I had to block him because of it, but he's been giving members of the extended family a hard time over it, and he says I can't just throw away my parents like that. I always thought that he and I could maintain a casual amount of contact, but now I'm not so sure. What does everybody think? Because no contact is looking like the best choice.
Whoa.
Well, my dad's, when he remarried, Dolly,
mm-hmm.
I started calling her mom almost immediately because with no pressure. No pressure at all. I think I was calling her mom before they even got married, just knowing, you know, how good they were with each other and mm-hmm. how much I appreciated, you know, their chemistry. And so I did. I called her mom and categorized, you know, who she was, and mom was her name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother was mother, and she was my mom. And then dad, when Dolly died, and dad remarried, it was just never going to happen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was, everybody knew that in his loneliness, dad had reached out for help and done something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that he moved clear the fuck down to St. George and none of us can get down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was never any tightness. I was nice to her. I was polite to her. I you know, it was never combative because I was an adult child when it happened. But there was never she never tried with any of dad's kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
other than to just sort of get in the way of those relationships. And no, if she had insisted that I called her mom, we probably would have had a chat about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It would just been like, you know what? No, I've got several already.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't push that title. I feel like it's one, it's earned, over time, you know, and it's up to the person. It's up to the kids too. I would never say you have to call somebody dad or mom on the flip side of that is you can't be upset too when you're ex remarries and they have another co-parent. I think it's fair that they can call them mom if they want or dad if they want.
Yeah, I remember when I was in my teens, when I would call Dolly mom, my mother would get upset.
Right.
You know, she obviously didn't like it. And in this case, in the letter, it sounds like before she started doing the work of being a mom, she wanted the title of being mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of pressure to put on a little kid whose mom just died.
Just died.
You know? And it's, like you said, it's an earned honorific.
Yeah.
You put in the work, you know, you do the support, whatever, and it either comes or it doesn't.
Well, and I feel like to be a mom, it's that unconditional love that... It doesn't matter if they call you mom or whatever, that does not change.
No.
You know?
You married a guy with kids.
Yeah.
This is part of that.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I feel bad for the lady because according to the letter, she can't have kids of her own. So you should do your best to make the kids that you do have, you know, happy and comfortable.
Comfortable, yes.
And comfortable is important. And what you did, ma'am, was make the kids uncomfortable, and then you continued to push that narrative, mm-hmm. and dad, in this scenario, is out of bounds.
Big time.
Now, do I think no contact? Look, I don't know what your conversations are like, but if they're yelly and screamy, maybe you do need a little no contact. You know?
If he's putting her mental and emotional issues and state on to his kid, that is so wrong.
It's unfair.
It's unfair, and it doesn't matter what he does. He can't change her emotional well-being.
No.
Calling her mom isn't going to change that if she's not well.
No. Because we both have kids.
Yes.
Your kids do not call me dad.
No.
It bothers me not at all. You know, it's who am I to them? I am their mother's husband. I love your kids.
Yeah.
I fucking love your kids. You know, each and every one of them, I find them delightful. I find them entertaining. I do just about anything I possibly could for them.
Mm-hmm.
Except I will never be insistent on an honorific that at this point in their lives, they're probably tired of doing.
Right. They're like, we've done this before. Been there, done that.
Jesus, mom, another one.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, they don't need that kind of pressure from me. That's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. And so to sum up this letter, as far as I'm concerned, dude, man, your stepmom's out of line, and I get it. And you know, you shouldn't have to pretend. She should be an adult.
Yes.
She's obviously not an adult. Is it going to kill you to call her mom? No, but it's going to make you feel bad about it. So skip it.
Yep. Don't do it.
Yeah. And perhaps a paper letter to your father just explaining that I was made uncomfortable and I was put under pressure from a very young age when I was still trying to mourn my mom, you know, and it was too much too soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's you got to earn it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I don't have anything else for the show. But we got some stuff for Patreon.
Yes, we do.
So why don't you folks join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record, we put special content over on Patreon just for our Patreon family. It's good stuff.
Yes.
That's where we talk about the naughty things.
We do. So naughty.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want a good example of that, join the Patreon and go back and listen to the Hall Pass episode of Patreon.
I didn't even think it was that naughty. Maybe I'm not remembering.
We can go back and listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that when we did it in the show, we were pretty explicit.
Really?
And when we did it in the after show, when we did it in Patreon, we were even more explicit.
Okay. So, I just don't remember. And I don't get, yeah, I'm pretty open about that stuff. So I'm an overshare.
That's fair. So yeah, patreon.com/defenmedia. In the meantime, I had a good time recording with you this week.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Thank you very much.
Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.